You're listening to a March 2014 podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this podcast, we're going to talk about the effects of immigration on the U.S. labor market. I was lucky enough to speak with economist Giovanni Perry of UC Davis during his recent visit to IRP. Professor Perry says that many of the accounts on the effects of immigration that you would see, say, if you did an internet search, would represent it as almost all bad or almost all good. Political debates aside, this perhaps reflects that there's a lot of uncertainty about what is actually going on, and that the story can be widely different from region to region in the U.S. As Professor Perry points out, there's a lot of worry about the immediate impacts of immigration on U.S. jobs.
There are a lot of strong feelings when people talk about immigration, and I would say that most of the general opinion and general take on immigration and jobs is that why do we need to get some people from abroad stealing away our jobs? And especially now, we're coming out of a recession, there are not too many jobs, and the idea is that immigrants who are here are one less job for an American worker. My contribution is that it's not true that one job taken by an immigrant is one less job for an American worker, because first of all, job come combined in companies, in firms. So if a company can hire a person and expand, needs to hire other persons to do related thing.
So there are a couple of things going on. There's what economists might call a displacement effect, as immigrants can displace native-born workers or depress wages, but at the same time, this expansion within companies and across the economy can be the rising tide that floats more boats.
So if you start thinking about this connection of jobs, it's clear that what you want is an economy that can expand and grow. And these immigrants are crucial in some bottlenecks to allow growth, because you don't have very many Americans who are willing to pick vegetables. But if you have vegetables who are available to pick, then they have you have a restaurant industry, a transformation industry, which can use them. When you start thinking like this, you realize that this idea, one immigrant is one less job for American, is actually wrong. And when you do the serious data analysis, this is confirmed that is not the case. In fact, economies which have been more dynamic and have been growing the most are economies which have also attracted immigrants and where they have played an important role.
Professor Perry says that there are a number of challenges to communicating this effectively in the policy arena and to the broader population, but that part of the story that is often missed is the wide variance in skill and education level that immigrants have. In the last decade in the U.S. at least, the bulk of immigrants have been either very high skill with a college degree or more, or lower skilled with the equivalent of less than a high school education.
The skilled worker are key. So there are two things that, again, help put things in frame. First, very smart scientists and engineers are very mobile all over the world, and they are key contributors to innovation and technological growth. And most of the economists think that innovation, technological growth are the engine of productivity and economic growth. So there is a huge, I would say, world competition to have some of these high productive skilled scientists and engineers. The second is that there are a lot of other countries which are doing this very well. Canada, Australia are specifically targeting, but now the UK, a lot of European countries. So a lot of these people, many will really prefer coming to the United States, which is still the leader in a lot of these human capital intensive and science intensive sector, but they will go elsewhere if it's not. And I think this would be a net loss of productivity for American.
Still, the effects of immigration on the domestic labor market, and by extension on the larger economy, tend to be felt in a very regional or local way, because immigrants tend to congregate in particular cities or metro regions.
Immigrants are very concentrated geographically in the United States. The top city for immigrants, which is New York, has 11% of all the immigrants in the country, while it only has 4% of the population. The top state, which is California, has 25% of all immigrants and only 8% of the population. So immigrants tend to concentrate. And the idea is that they tend to go where community of other immigrants are. It's not hard to think that is pleasant for a person to have available nearby, not only a network of people they know, but also a network of maybe amenities that they like. And there is literature that says that a lot of immigrants have an easier time finding jobs and because information circulates there.
But even as cities with significant immigrant populations like New York flourish, at least partially on the basis of companies and firms developed by immigrants, Perry says that there may also be a tipping point at which immigrants begin to move to other parts of the country that haven't recently been known for having a significant immigrant population.
Immigrants are spreading themselves into the country more. And I think the interesting evidence recently is that this odd situation of having a lot of undocumented makes them willing to move and look for a job in other places where there is a huge concentration of them. They could crowd themselves out. And so in the last years, states like Georgia or Colorado or North Carolina that did not used to have immigrants, they start seeing quite a few immigrants, both of the low-educated manual worker type and some of the high worker type. So the geography is historically determined, very dependent on the community, but has been evolving in the last decade.
One of the major critiques of a more open immigration policy is that an influx of low-skill immigrants will displace low-skill native-born workers, or at least that it will depress wages for the types of jobs available to lower-skill workers.
Native-born low-skilled, so people who don't have an high school degree and they probably do manual job, I think they are at risk, not just because of immigration. Offshoring or outsourcing, which is this movement of production abroad, and technology, which is this mechanization and informatization, have all taken away jobs from there. So number one, I would say that we, the policy response has to be, we need to try to have the largest part of American to at least achieve a high school degree and possibly a little bit of college education. I don't see why a country like the U.S., which is becoming so rich, cannot at least guarantee high school education. There are issues which are linked to family policy, and I think that's where we need to focus.
Perry says that using more sophisticated ways of thinking about the impact of immigration and of the sorts of adjustments that happen in a local economy is important for informing good immigration policy and better understanding the complexities of the immigration debate.
I think one thing that we are understanding in the research about immigration is that it is very important to evaluate the impact of immigration, to understand all the margin of adjustment that the local economy sets in place when immigration happens. This is a little bit as the research on global warming. So I was sitting in a conference a few days ago in which they were presenting the different waves of research on global warming. 10 years ago, the whole game of economic consequences of global warming was trying to see what is the economy right now and increase the temperature and keep everything else fixed and see what losses we have and quantify them. Now the game is to understand what kind of response and margin of response individuals have. In this, and therefore accounting for that, global warming in some cases can create actually opportunity because some parts can become more productive. If you allow for a response, the economic effects are very different. This is, I think, an area in which economists can really help a little bit. Economists have always thought that people are smart. They're not perfectly rational, but they are sufficiently smart to respond in an efficient way to their incentive and to the changing of the incentives outside. So I think we should look at immigration exactly in the same way. Immigrants come in and create opportunity, and native firm and worker adjust and respond to that. If you account for that, I think you end up with a much more positive assessment than if you don't.
Professor Perry says that immigration, especially as it affects the labor market, is going to be a very big issue for the U.S. and for other countries in the coming decades. Domestically, we're likely to see both winners and losers, and, as Perry indicates, for the most vulnerable, native-born, low-wage workers, immigration is far from the only threat. So, for lower-wage workers, investments in education and other forms of skill development will continue to be important as they seek ways to stay competitive in an evolving labor market. Many thanks to Giovanni Perry for sharing his work with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.